Yeah, somebody have to on the light so that at least you can read. Okay, Sadhu. Okay, we'll continue from where we stopped. So we are at Heart Sutta, page 82. May help me to read. You got the mic? Okay. Page 82, chapter 23.
Within the five aggregates of form and mind, form is much grosser and has perceptible characteristics, hence it is quite easy to see and understand. But when it comes to mental aggregates like feeling, perception, activities of mind, thinking, mental states, mental formation and intentions, etc., and consciousness, they are formless. Hence they are much subtler and more difficult to see and understand. Most people do meditation without the true understanding of what is meditation, as taught by the Buddha, and its true purpose and intent. Hence, their main activities are centered on developing the so-called good meditation, such as calmness and tranquility of mind, via concentration and focusing of the mind using thought. Such calmness and tranquility are usually taken as good meditative states, which they will cling onto as a sign of good progress, forgetting that it is only wisdom that frees and liberates the mind. The calmness and tranquility are good condition states, but they are only the byproduct of meditation that should not be clung onto. Instead, they should make use of it to develop the wisdom or insight needed for enlightenment, via sati to see things as they are, without any concepts, words, ideas or thoughts. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot see things as they are to understand what is going on in life within the moment. Use the sati or silent mind before the knowing to meditate and awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature and to develop the insight knowledge needed to free the mind. See clearly that all phenomena are natural conditions arising upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases. Also see how upon contact, consciousness and its seven universal mental concomitants come to be, and how through ignorance, contact, conditions, craving, leading to all the grasping and clinging, etc., that causes one suffering when wisdom or yoniso manasikara, wise attention, is not there at the moment of sense experience. Then one will come to understand clearly how thought arises due to response to memories, and how one grabs and clings to all these memories via our mental perceptions and thinking that condition our emotional negativities and fear, etc., leading to all the suffering and misery in life. And because of delusion, you take them as very real and give them the meaning, hence arising your grasping and clinging. In actual fact, there is no one to see, to think, to feel, grasp and cling. All these are due to one's wrong view or sakaya ditti, self-delusion, because one still cannot see their conditioned arising nature to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha and anatta. The human being, first aspect of our five aggregates of form and mind, is only a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditioned out by our karmic nature for us to use and live this segment of our life, and it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, because it is not you. When you see this clearly, you truly awaken. We have taken birth and died for so many countless lives. So which one of these countless numbers of segmented life is you? None. So do awaken to this truth with right view and wisdom. Then we will understand the secret of life, and we will know how to truly live life without having to worry about life anymore. Question 1. This wisdom or realization, does it happen during or out of meditation? Answer by Brother Teo. It can happen any time as long as one is heedful, which means constantly meditative and ever mindful, and be the steadfast one, as explained by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 23. Never crave or desire or expect it to happen, because the craving, desire and expectation are thoughts that will prevent one from awakening to the state of enlightenment, which is beyond thought, to see things as they are. Silence the mind completely and be patient, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness and stop by the Buddha via sati or the silent mind, then only one can awaken. When you're out of the formal meditation, but you're still heedful most of the time, then you can also awaken to the truth. That is, as long as you are heedful anytime, you can realize it via the first, second or third turnings of the Four Noble Truths. But if you are heedless, you are as if dead spiritually, hence no way to awaken as confirmed by the Buddha via his Dhammapada, verse 21.
Okay, thank you. This one is very important. This answer the question one. Enlightenment can happen anytime, in any posture, not necessarily in the formal meditation. It can also happen out of the meditation, provided you are heedful, you have developed the first, second turning, and you are ever mindful to develop the third turning, wisdom, bhavana, maya, panya, which is very penetrative, then only it can happen. If you are heedless, don't go and dream, because there is no way you can awaken. Also, thought-based meditation, very difficult. Okay, you go on, May. Thanks.
Question 2. When we say we must be constantly aware, what is it that we must be aware of? Answer by Brother Teo. Awareness is before the knowing, so there is nothing for you to be aware of technically. It is just awareness before the labeling or perception and words, that is mind in silent awareness to see things as they are before the arising of the aggregates of mind to interpret and give meaning to them. Just the mind and phenomenon in harmony and perfect synchronization before the knowing. So don't go and note anything or look for the phenomena, but instead just silent your mind and allow the phenomena to tell you their characteristics by the silent awareness to awaken to all the three universal characteristics of all phenomena. This is the reason for the Buddha's instruction on cultivating. Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, are breathing in aware and breathing out aware. That is just an awareness of the in and out breath. The breath and mind move as one in perfect harmony and synchronize without thought and at ease. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. So no one to see, because it is just the pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing that arises naturally upon contact of mind with the eyes as the organ, like the physics experiment analogy of the light bulb, battery and the switch. So similarly, when you're aware, there's no one to be aware of anything, because it is just awareness. That is the silent mind and phenomenon as one without thought to perceive anything. Equanimity means non-duality. Seeing things as they are with yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, is the key to enlightenment, because only through wisdom or understanding can the mind be free. The nature's laws that govern all of life and existence, especially the law of karma, is very complex. So without wisdom, it is very difficult to cope with life. Thinking can become a habitual tendency when we lack mindfulness and wisdom, and because of our rather conditioned views and opinions, we tend to develop a lot of negative thoughts via habitual tendency. As we understand, wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition out fear, worries, anxieties, suffering and miseries. As such, they should be abandoned via right effort and wisdom. We must apply the Kalama Sutta's advice, not only as advice given to us, but also to our thoughts. Hence, whatever advice given to us, in order to know whether we should follow it or not, the Buddha said to the Kalamas at the time, they should reflect and contemplate as follows to find out. If I follow their advice, will it cause suffering and misery to others and to me? If not, then we can try it out. Otherwise, abandon it. So if it is applied to our own thoughts, then we will know how to abandon all the wrong thoughts and develop only the right and wholesome thoughts via the four right efforts as described in the Noble Eightfold Path. Without wisdom, thought is always egoic. With wisdom, we can see all this, that is, we can see the limitation of thoughts and how thoughts divide through words like race, religion, gender, nationality, views, relationships, etc. to bring about all the conflicts, misunderstanding, argument, jealousy, and envy, leading to all the enmities and wars. With wisdom, we will see clearly that it is only thoughts and form and mind arguing. They are only the aggregates of mind and not you. Like the analogies as given by the Buddha to the five aggregates, feeling is like a bubble because feeling or sensation always arise and pass away from moment to moment. Perception is like a mirage, only a mental image. Sankhara is like a banana tree stem because layer after layer after you peel, at the center of core, it is empty, which is similar to your thoughts or thinking. They always arise and pass away, and very quickly they are dead and gone, hence empty. Only thoughts. Then consciousness is like a great magician or illusionist creating all the illusions to delude you. Living beings should inquire deep into why the Buddha said Sabbe Sankhara Anicca and Sabbe Sankhara Dukkha and Sabbe Dhamma Anatta to understand its deep meaning. Sankhara is only mental activities or thoughts. So how come they have the power to delude you and cause you so much suffering and misery? It is because via ignorance and delusion, you give it power to torment you without you knowing. With wisdom, we can see all this clearly, and we will come to understand that things are just as they are, and that everything that we come to perceive through our mind are all conditions arising, causal phenomena, and they are all manifestation of mind or mental images only, hence not so real and not what we think. So don't grasp, don't cling, and don't give it meaning via delusion. Otherwise, they can torment you. The essential Dharma as taught by the Buddha are, first, the Appamada Vaga, Dhammapada verses on heedfulness, D21, D22, and D23. Second, the Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path, the Five Hindrances of Mind, the Five Spiritual Faculties. Three, the Three Evil Roots of Greed, Hatred, and Delusion, the five daily contemplations. Four, right view with regards to the law of karma, four noble truths and the 12 links. And they must be clearly understood in order to progress along the path of Dhamma. The reason being, when I first came out to share the Buddha Dhamma during the year of 2004, I thought what living beings need was the Dhamma. But after I had started, I came to realize that very few could really understand the true Buddha Dhamma because at that time, their basic essential understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha was still not there. So when I contemplated on it, the inquiry on how can living beings develop the understanding of the true Dhamma, then this understanding comes to me. This is the reason why nowadays I reverse the teaching to focus on the essential Dhamma first before teaching the true Dhamma to new people. We are not able to be aware of the silence of nature because of the phenomenal world. Our mind is so clouded by thoughts, the vibrations and activities of mind that thoughts create. This is the reason why most of you can only perceive the silence of nature only in the middle of the night when everything is very quiet via the essence of mind. Consciousness creates the world and the continents and the universe. The knower becomes a living being. Via ignorance and delusion, the knower grabs onto the form and mind, thinking that it is real and what they are, hence becoming the traveler in space and time, wandering in samsara, following the law of karma. Certain Dhamma books talk about be with the knower. Actually, there is no knower or any atta at all. There is only awareness. Like the Buddha explained, in the seeing, it is only the seeing consciousness and is no one to see. Everything is conditioned arising, and they always arise and passing away following nature's conditions. Hence, just be aware and don't get involved. That is why the mind that has wisdom will not stir. Thoughts are just thoughts. They are neither good nor bad, because it depends on the user of thoughts. And if the user of thoughts has wisdom, then thoughts become right thoughts, and they are so beautiful. Use thoughts appropriately by arising only right and wholesome thoughts. Right thoughts bring about harmony and wholesomeness, whereas wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, worries, anxiety, suffering, and misery, etc. When we are born with the five aggregates of form and mind via our karma, we must understand that it is just like a vehicle and tool for us to use and live life. The body is like our physical tool or vehicle that can take us around, and the mind is our mental tool for us to use to live and experience life in the here and now. Together, we call it a human being, which we think is a permanent, unchanging entity that we can grasp onto as the me and the I, hence the delusion. When we develop the pure awareness-based meditation to connect to our true nature or through mind and awaken to the truth to see the unreality of this form and mind, then we can understand clearly what this form and mind is. Then there is no more Sakkaya Ditti or self-delusion. With this wisdom connected to this form and mind, the form and mind is then no longer deluded, hence it will not grasp anymore, thereby freeing the mind from all suffering. It will have the enlightenment factor of equanimity within, hence no more stirring of the mind to be afflicted again. It will be at peace with all things. It will know how to live life and no more delusion to worry about life anymore, because you have clearly understood that these five aggregates of form and mind of this segmented life of yours as a human being is not you. This is the ultimate understanding.
Yeah. So this one is a very important and very penetrative understanding. You go back, you should stabilize this understanding. Then it will help you later on. Then when your condition are ready, you can awaken, you can insight and just understand all this. Then everything will fall into place. Okay, continue.
Important notes. 1. The four important supports needed to develop the proper awareness-based meditation are relax, aware, 24 hours, and trust. 2. When a heart area cannot open up, it is very difficult to progress along the path of Dhamma. So the bowing and reverential salutation to develop the Sada, Viriya and Sati spiritual faculties to open up our heart area to make it sensitive to receive the spiritual energies needed to connect to our nature within is very important. 3. Just relax, aware and silence your mind to develop the heedfulness. Then you will progress along the path of Dhamma naturally, following Dhammapada verses D21, D22, and D23. 4. D21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. All conditioned things are impermanent, non-self, and empty, anatta. Therefore strive on with heedfulness. Appamadena sampadeta, as advised by the Buddha, and do not be heedless. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot be heedful, for sati is life.
Okay, very good. Then the other two notes is just to let you know, part 2, Heart Sutta, level lesson 23, there was no note. Then part 3 also, no note. Okay, continue for Heart Sutta, lesson 24.
The true purpose and intent of meditation is to develop the wisdom to liberate the mind so that one is no longer deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind, causing one to grasp and cling onto it as the I and the me and the mind to condition one's suffering. Understanding this true intent and purpose of meditation is very important because meditation is not only about developing the calm and tranquil mind alone. Wisdom is more important. One only needs to understand why one's mind is not peaceful, the main reason being the five hindrances of mind. And they are there because the opposite five spiritual faculties needed to overcome them are lacking. When the spiritual faculties are there, the hindrances will cease to be. Then when there are no more mental hindrances or craving, the mind will naturally be peaceful and calm because it can accept the reality of the moment via wisdom. Wisdom allows one to see things as they are via the unwavering mind in upekkha or equanimity, mind that does not stir anymore. Mind is free, liberated, and no longer deluded. Meditation via focusing, looking, and noting are mostly thought-based, whereas the one via the silent mind in sati, awareness, before the knowing, without thought, to awaken to phenomena is mindfulness or sati-based. Only through wisdom is the mind free. This wisdom cannot be learned, but only through awakening via the direct seeing, with the true mind without thought. Attachment to Dhamma as knowledge can also be a form of delusion. Wisdom is an understanding and not knowledge. There's nothing to know because all knowing is via the thought as knowledge, whereas wisdom is an awakening, a realization which is beyond thought and it is not rigid. Part 2. So too are feelings, cognition, formation and consciousness. Sariputta, all dharmas are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase or diminish. This section covers the more subtle formless dharma acting at the mind level. Definition 1. True understanding, page 63, imply wisdom. 2. Defeat them, imply no longer deluded by them. 3. Feelings of happiness, imply pleasant feeling. 4. Feelings of suffering, imply unpleasant feeling.
Okay, just to make clear, this on page 63 refer to that Heart Sutta commentary book, not our Heart Sutta here. Okay, yeah. Okay, go on.
5. Feelings which are characterized by neither suffering nor happiness imply neutral feeling or indifference. In a pure and deep ultimate silence, all creations are transcended, a sudden awakening to the original perfect fusion of self and dharmas. Explanation, when a mind realizes itself, all the above can happen. Part 3. Question 1. When I listen from my heart during Dharma sharing, I feel very peaceful and happy. There is clarity, but this state does not last. Why is it that I feel this way? Answer by Brother Teo. This could be due to your past cultivation that enables you to have this ability to listen from your heart, and it looks like conditions are now ready for you to connect back to your past cultivation. You will progress very fast from now onwards, because when you know how to listen from your heart with your full awareness there, then the brain, which is up in your forehead, will not condition you to think, comment, judge and react so strongly as before when your attention is more of the time at your forehead while listening. Since thoughts are response to memories, so by listening from the heart, there will be very much less thoughts, but initially it will be like the listening is in bits and pieces and not really less thoughts, but not really connected to the memories. But don't worry, because it is normal and you should continue to listen from your heart until it becomes normal or natural for you to do that. Actually, that is the correct way to listen. Listening with your full attention or consciousness awareness without the interference of thoughts. It is a sign of good progress. Also understand that like all phenomena, it is impermanent. So do not expect this same experience to be repeated all the time. This is especially so during your daily life, where you are not in a conducive place to listen to the true Dharma. Then your habitual tendencies of listening from your forehead, your brain, will start to happen again. Sometimes the hindrances of mind can still come in to disturb your mind states. So do not react or stir your mind by a delusion. Just let things be, and let it settle back to its natural original state of stillness and inner peace, then you will always be happy and at peace. Have the wisdom to see things as they are, and understand all this clearly. Then, one day, you will come to understand that as long as the true mind within does not stir and create thoughts via one's own delusion to think or react, then the mind will always be peaceful. The wanting to react or to be calm and peaceful via the thought is a delusion. The wanting will create the stirring of the mind, because this mind via the thought will try to control and suppress its negative emotions or lack of peace, thinking that it is bad by not understanding that the controller is the control. When the mind is in sati, there is no thought. That is, thought ceases. So just relax and silence the mind so to be with the moment in silent inner awareness and do not try to do anything, because the doing is by the thought that will cause the stirring of the mind again. So the thought, which is the controller, tries to control thought, thus explaining why J. Krishnamurti said, the controller is the control.
So now you understand, huh? Why Krishnamurti said the controller is the control. Because you try to control thought, understand now? Where you think thought is giving you problem. But who is the one doing it? It's another thought, understand now? So thought is trying to control thought. Then what happened? The controller is the control. Both are the same. It's just like when you observe something. The observer is the observer. You know why the observer is the observer? The observer is thought, consciousness. What you're observing is another thought. also consciousness and is content. That's why the controller is the control. The observer is the observed. But living being with delusion, they separate. They say, I see. What you see, you separate. Because you think this is not you. So a very good example is when you have anger or fear. You separate yourself from anger. Then what you want to do? You want to suppress anger. You want to control anger because you say anger is bad. But a controller is the control. Understand? It's the thought that wants to remove the thought, which is anger. So when you understand this, when the observer is the observer, means the two mesh, understand? Then you won't be doing such foolish thing, such stupid thing. Can you understand? Yeah? Then after that, if you don't allow this to manifest, means you allow the true mind to come in and just feel or be with that thing, then you realize that which is impermanent, condition arising like the guest of the mind, they will cease, they will disappear. Whereas you are the host. Understand? Your pure awareness, the true mind is always there. Eternally there. It is never born. That's why it never died. It's not like the form and mind. The form and mind was born, rebirth. That's why it has to die. But that which is originally unborn can never die. So can follow. Yeah? A bit abstract, huh? But slowly, slowly it will go in. Okay, may continue.
When one understands that the natural state of mind before the stirring is stillness, without thought, then meditation becomes very simple, just like the case of swimming. Take for example, swimming. If we understand that the natural state of our body is already buoyant, because it is lighter than water, then why do we need to learn how to float? Just let go and don't do anything, and trust that your natural state of body is buoyant, then your body will just float while you're not doing anything. But instead, most people struggle in the water trying to keep afloat, and in the progress, sink and drink water. Sink and drink water because of their fear and lack of understanding or delusion. So similarly, in meditation, if we understand that the natural state of mind is already the meditative state of silent inner awareness without thought, then we just let things be and don't do anything. And the mind will settle down to its natural state of peace, tranquility and stillness on its own, just like the swimming analogy. Once you realize that you can float without doing anything or holding on to any float, then swimming becomes very simple and easy because you just move to swim without having to worry about learning how to float anymore. The float is just like your object of meditation, which is just a skillful means to help you to train your mind to be heedful, or in the case of the float, to assist you to float. So now you start to see and understand that as long as you are dependent on the float to swim, then you will never understand what the real swimming is without the float. So in a similar way, as long as you are still holding on to the object of meditation or a mantra or noting something, then you will not understand what the actual meditative mind is. So now you understand why finally one still needs to drop the use of any meditation object or skillful means used to train their mind. Just like swimming, why must you learn how to float? When your natural state of your body is already buoyant, which is a fact which you can't understand initially due to your delusion. Understanding that your natural state of mind is already the meditative state, which is without thought, in perfect pure awareness and stillness, then meditation becomes very simple and very straightforward, and you will know how to meditate without delusion anymore. To me, after several years of serious meditative investigation, I've come to realize one very important truth or understanding with regards to meditation. That is, we need to understand what meditation is instead of clinging to meditation techniques, methods and teachers, because the technique or method, which is a series of instructions to do certain things, never defines the meditation. Maybe it can act as an initial aid, like a float to assist you initially to learn how to swim and float. But to really know how to swim, you must let go of the float and believe that your body can float and reach a natural state of balance or buoyancy if you don't try to do anything. That is, let go completely and you will float. Then swimming becomes very natural and easy. Our mind is more or less the same. That is, its natural state is already the meditative state in stillness. So just stay silent mentally and don't do anything. Don't even try to use the mind, which is a thought, to meditate, to disrupt the natural state, because the thinking mind, which is ego and thought-based, cannot meditate to realize the Dharma or truth, which is akaliko, timeless and beyond thought. Because of ignorance, not knowing what truth is, the thinking mind is conditioned via its own wrong view or habitual tendency to constantly arise the mental activities or heedless thinking, sankhara, leading to the arising of respective mental consciousness, vijnana, that supports the arising of the five mental aggregates of form and mind, nama rupa, hence triggering off the whole chain of dependent origination, leading to dukkha finally. When you understand what meditation is, then you will naturally know how to meditate at any place, any time, and under any circumstances, and you will not be constrained or deluded by your attachment to methods, techniques, or teachers. Basing on the analogy of the handful of leaves by the Buddha, it is pretty obvious that the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, because according to the Buddha, there is this fourth noble truth that states clearly that the path leading to the cessation of dukkha or realization of nibbana is the Noble Eightfold Path. So just silen your mind and be heedful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path via the seven stages of purification and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, as taught by the Buddha. Hope the above explanation will clear all your doubts and it enable you to meditate correctly with the right understanding.
Good. Thank you so much. So now clear meditation. Just like swimming is a very good analogy. You see, like your body, the natural state is buoyancy and so on. It already has the ability to float. Then why are you deluded by the fact that you think you must learn how to float? Correct or not? Learning how to float is because you have wrong view. You think you cannot float. But physics and science tell you, you are lighter than water. Your natural state is buoyancy. You let it go down, the up thrust push you up, then you float. You have to understand that and give it a try. Then the moment you can float, you will understand. You no need to struggle or learn how to float. So similarly, meditation is what? You learn how to be mindful. No? You know what is happening? You are teaching the duckling how to swim. No? The duckling born already know how to swim. No? That's how. Your mind, natural state without thought, is already in sati. No? You somehow want to learn to be in sati. No? You understand what you are doing, right? And you use the thought to learn, no? Thought which is deluded and don't understand. That's why you go and do all the funny meditation. Note this, note that. Focus here, focus there. Now you understand how you are caught. Huh? And why are you not peaceful? Why can't your mind silent? Because of the hindrance. Where you don't have the spiritual faculty. The moment you have, then you understand. If I pay attention without allowing the thought to arise, means I have spiritual faculty. I'm in sati and samadhi. I can listen attentively. Then I'm in the meditative state. Then I relax and silent in the formal meditation. My mind is already in sati, as long as you don't think. But because of your hindrance, your habitual tendency, you think a lot. That's why you cannot meditate. Then you don't understand. People never explain to you. Then what you do? You gullibly go and ask how to meditate. They say, take this object, note this, note that, do this, do that. Wow, you think you do that, you are doing vipassana. I tell you, that is the most gullible thing. To me, it's very funny. I don't know whether you understand what is going on or not. So a lot of people are trapped because they don't understand what is meditation, what is sati, what is the silent mind. When your mind is already naturally aware in sati before the stirring, before your wrong view condition it to become heedless, then you can understand the meditation. Means the only thing I need to do is, if this thinking don't arise, the mind is naturally in sati, and I can meditate because this is a meditative mind. This is the silent mind. So I don't have to train and try to be mindful. Understand or not? When I say train, you train the mundane mind. Understand or not? You don't go and train the true mind that is already in sati. Understand or not? Can follow or not? The duckling already know how to swim. You someone want to teach him how to swim. So, that is delusion. So, the training is for the heedless mind not to become heedless. That's why you use the skillful means, mind sweeping method and metta, to reverse the heedless thinking. The moment the thinking stops, you are silent, you are aware. And there is a sati. So don't do anything anymore. Just silent, relax, aware, and let it understand. This is meditation. Okay? Clear? All in transcript, so clear already. So just contemplate, reflect, go back and stabilize it. Then very easy to meditate. Okay, read on.
Question 2. Brother Teo, you are the only teacher who asks us to silence our mind and stay at the heart area. But why no monks or texts ever advise us to focus on the heart area?
That is a very good question. You know, a lot of people tell me, Brother Teo, when I do that, the monks scold me. He said, wrong. Who asked you to go there? He said, go rising, falling. That's how the meditation becomes like that. You read my answer.
Answer by Brother Teo. Don't worry about what others say. Just investigate and find out for yourself. Do not quote me saying anything, because you may not understand what I mean. Then you may get me and yourself into trouble unnecessarily. If you are not careful, then you may end up arguing with them over methods and techniques again. Just say, Brother Teo only share his Dharma understanding with us, so no right, no wrong, and we as Dharma friends or Kalyamitas just make use of whatever that is useful and conducive for our own cultivation. It is just his sincere way of sharing the Dharma. And as Dharma friends who walk the path of Dharma, we are here to sincerely support, motivate, counsel and help each other to progress along the path of Dharma without resorting to any inappropriate negativity of action, speech and thought. I only advise those who have developed the ability to silence their mind and rest their awareness at the heart area to feel the gateway to their nature if they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness. This meditation is only done by those who have developed the silent mind in pure awareness or sati without thought after they have stabilized their daily mindfulness or anapanasati, and also for those who have trained their mind until their mindfulness is so subtle and fine that they can hardly feel anything. This is the state where a lot of meditators get trapped and stagnate because they don't understand what is happening. Some master or teacher will ask them to do the sitting and touching, etc. But if they understand what is happening, then they should stop doing those things, just like what I've explained under question 1 above. The reason being, the meditator has reached a state where their bodily vibrations have become so much finer and subtler. Hence, they need to develop the more refined sati or mindfulness to stabilize their mind so that their mind is able to stay still and silent on its own without the need for any dwelling or object of meditation, that is, mind in sati without any anchor. To realize this state, they must silence everything and stay at the heart area to detect the gateway to connect to their nature within so that their sati can become more refined and stable. Then when they have stabilized their sati this way, they will suddenly realize that they will be able to be mindful of even the very subtle breathing or fine vibrations within their heart area and every movement of mind within their kaya via this awareness of sati is like greatly magnified and in slow motion, but with a lot of clarity within. All of the movements are like broken down into a lot of very fine movements in between. When this stage of cultivation is reached, the mind is very mindful most of the time, in and out of meditation. Even in their daily life, their daily mindfulness will be very different, very clear and stable, with little or no thought most of the time, and they are constantly aware. A mind in sati is always aware of sense experiences, every hearing, seeing and thinking, etc., with a lot of clarity. And everything is like a flow, that is the mind and phenomenon coming together as one, in perfect harmony and synchrony. The meditation using trust is needed when one is able to detect the gateway to their nature within, and this is usually cultivated only by those going the Bodhisattva way, leading to Buddhahood. For more details, please listen to the recorded talk.
Okay, now clear. All this I have explained before. So you don't have to like worry about what people say, okay? Investigate yourself and find out. Because everything that they do, they don't understand. That's why they tell you this one cannot, that one cannot. What are method and technique? Also to anchor the mind, understand or not? To train the mind. So actually, you can use your heartbeat and vibration to train your mind, to anchor your mind. But I don't encourage that because before you develop stability of mindfulness, you go to the heart, you may do energy field. Understand or not? Because you will focus there, understand or not? And wherever you like note, you note the heartbeat, like you send the Tan Tian energy to your Tan Tian, your Qigong energy, because you focus there, understand or not? You note there, you focus there. That's why the energy will build up. Then they say open chakra. Actually, no, you temper and release the energy. But because this energy is yin yang before you have wisdom, before you are enlightened, and you do it, you are tempering with it. That's why you release that energy without control. Then sometimes you feel very cold, sometimes you feel very hot. I told you the lady that strip and honestly, the yin yang energy touched the wrong one, too hot. Take off all her clothes. In the aircon room while meditating, still have to take off all her clothes. You, this is a real situation, no? But I didn't witness it. I was not there. My Singapore friend told me. Oh. So you play with energy field, you must have a good teacher. Otherwise you can get into trouble. So now understand, why I don't encourage you. Like I say, I only advise people who has the stability of mindfulness, daily mindfulness and silent mind. Then when you go there, you will not get into trouble. You will not go and develop energy field. Because you're just silent, relaxed, aware. That's why the four support. First one, always relax into whatever mind says. Then the energy won't build up. Then you just maintain awareness 24 hours. Then when you are completely silent with the wisdom and the understanding, one day you will detect the gateway. Then it will just melt in. So all this is very clearly explained where there were conditions. And this gateway meditation are for higher beings. But you must have the Dhamma, the wisdom. Otherwise you can get into trouble. Okay? But if you do awareness-based sati, there is no problem at all. You won't like go for rumor, run fire, enter Mara. Correct or not? Is it run fire, enter Mara? Go for, zao he, jip mo. Correct or not? Okay, almost 5:30 a.m. Thank you so much. Your reading very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I really, really save a lot of talking. now I know who to look for. That's why Tuesday class, I remember, she was the one when she came. We must thank the husband and the mother also. Queenie and Hong. Wai Hong. Thank you, Wai Hong. You have a good wife. Beautiful. And Queenie, where are you? Oh, she is there. See? The mom and the daughter. Same face or not? Sure, same face. Actually, the mom also did help to do a transcript of one of the book. What was the heading? The Q&A one. Lying down meditation. Very good. Understanding lying down meditation. Please, don't use the word sleeping meditation. People will say, crazy, what type of teacher is it? Teach people how to sleep and meditate. Lying down meditation. That's why words are very dangerous. What your teacher teach? Got method, got technique. Got lah, sleep. I tell you, you become famous overnight. And this teacher can snore. That's why people don't understand. A lot of things can lead to misunderstanding. So luckily we understand. Okay, very good progress. Page 92. So now we go for dinner. 5:30. We will do the closing salutation. Okay? Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Okay, thank you.